Welcome to Outbeat Radio, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have Dr. Jenny Holland and her family in studio. Jenny is a full-time psychologist in private practice in Sonoma County. Her husband, Adam, has been working full-time as an attorney and CEO of Disability Services and Legal Center in Santa Rosa. Jenny and her husband are proud parents of three kids who identify as part of the LGBTQI plus community. Welcome, Jenny.
Thanks for having us. It's nice to be part of the community and nice to have a place to show up to.
Hello. Hello. Welcome, Adam.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And like Diana said, Jenny and Adam have three kids, so we're going to introduce them right now to you. Amelia is going to be a senior at Santa Rosa High School in the fall. Hi, Amelia.
Hello.
Then we have Addison, and Addison is going to be a sophomore at Art Quest at Santa Rosa High School next fall. Welcome, Addison.
Thank you for having me.
And last but not least is Noah, and Noah will be graduating from Madrone Elementary School this Friday, and will be attending Brookhaven in Sebastopol as a seventh grader in the fall. Welcome, Noah.
Oh, good to be here.
Wonderful. Can't wait to hear about you guys. Stay tuned to learn more about Jenny, Adam, and their three kids. But first, here's news and events from Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of June 6th, 2021. LGBTQ Nation reports that Caitlyn Jenner said she wants to put together a state commission to determine on a case-by-case basis if transgender girls are, quote, truly trans enough to play school sports. Jenner told Fox News last week, quote, what I would do as governor is I would put together a commission, and trans women who are truly trans, who at a very young age, you know, started proper medical treatment, they've grown up as girls, of course, they should be able to compete in girls' sports, end quote. This appears to be the third position Jenner's taken on the question of whether transgender girls should be treated equally in school sports. Jenner was for it when she gave a speech in 2015, but then came out against trans girls participating in school sports earlier this year after she announced she was running in the recall election to replace Governor Gavin Newsom. She told TMZ several weeks ago, quote, this is a question of fairness. This is why I oppose biological boys competing in girls' sports in school. It's just not fair, end quote. Fox host Dana Perino played the interview clip and asked Jenner why her position changed from her previous support. Jenner responded, referring to the TMZ interview, quote, you notice I didn't say in the statement trans women, end quote. She said that the Olympics and the NCAA have strict regulations about transgender athletes, but high schools have no guide rules and no regulations. And the Advocate magazine reports that Jeffrey Sanker, the creator and face of the nation's largest gay circuit party, died a week ago Friday after a long battle with liver cancer. According to the Los Angeles Blade, Sanker was 65 years old and a prominent resident of West Hollywood. As the owner of the White Party Entertainment Company, Sanker produced the nation's largest gay dance music festival, the White Party Palm Springs. Though it was canceled last year because of COVID and postponed until Halloween of this year, the event regularly attracted tens of thousands of queer men to the California desert, pumping millions into the economy and donating a percentage of the proceeds to groups like Desert AIDS Project, the Trevor Project, and the Gay and Lesbian Elder Housing. And here in the Bay Area, a lesbian San Francisco Fire Department assistant chief who alleged discrimination against the department in a claim 2 months ago is now taking the city to court. As the Bay Area Reporter previously reported, Assistant Chief Nicole Girodovac filed a claim of whistleblower retaliation and discrimination against the San Francisco Fire Department and the city's Human Resources Department back on March 5th. Girodovac claims that she wanted to change the culture of the fire department, but instead she was retaliated against after exposing cheating on promotional exams, safety violations, and racism in the department. This is in addition for blowing the whistle on what her attorney calls a drunken party at a fire station in Noe Valley back in 2017. The complaint filed in San Francisco Superior Court alleges that rather than welcoming the opportunity to address its problems, the fire department has allowed those who feel threatened by the assistant chief to retaliate against her for taking on, quote, the good old boys mentality. And here in Sonoma County, Pride Month officially kicked off last week, and Sonoma County Pride organizers have the month of June packed with events and activities for everyone. Events happening this week include the Friends of Dorothy Community Conversation, which meets on Zoom this Wednesday starting at 5:30 p.m. The topic for the week is support and resources for caregivers, and you can get the Zoom information at sonomacountypride.org. And the big event happening this week is the Outwatch Documentary Film Festival, which begins on June 10th and runs through June 13th. You can watch five LGBTQ documentaries, including Sexplanation, Girls Boys Mix, Julia Scotty Funny That Way, Unforgivable, and Kapa'emahu. All of the films will be viewed online over the 4 days of the festival. Individual film passes are $12, and a five-film bundle is available for $50. You can learn more at outwatchfilmfest.org. And also happening next Sunday, June 13th, Sonoma County Pride and the Graton Resort and Casino present Sunday Friends and Fitness, a family-friendly hike at Foothills Park in Windsor. Regional Park staff will be present and available at this event to interact with families and bring some nature-related show-and-tell items from the park for kids to explore. The hike starts at 10 a.m. and concludes by 12 noon, and you can learn more at sonomacountypride.org. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And as our guests tonight, we have Dr. Jenny Holland and her husband, Adam, and their three kids, Noah, Addison, and Amelia. Thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us in the studio tonight. Why don't you start, Jenny, and just tell us a little bit about yourself, your life, your professional life, what you do for hobbies, passions. Just go ahead and introduce yourself to us.
All right. I am a licensed clinical psychologist in Sonoma County, and I work full time. I really enjoy it. That is my passion. And when I'm not working, I'm parenting and sometimes singing. And lately I've really been enjoying swimming.
And so Adam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an attorney in Santa Rosa, for the past forever, about 20, 25 years, here. And I'm also a professor at Empire School of Law, as well as Bergen University. And I run the Disability Services and Legal Center for Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino, and Lake Counties. So that keeps me busy.
How do you both find time for parenting? I mean, you're both so busy with your careers. Why don't you answer that, Adam, first? How do you balance your life like that?
I think comparatively, I think the kids are pretty easy. They're relatively fairly well self-motivated. They don't require nearly as much shame as our parents used on us, so, to get things done. So they log in on their own in the morning for school. They feed themselves during the day. I think they bathe. They get themselves dressed. You know, they do it all. So I'd say comparatively they're pretty easy.
Are you both responsible for that? I mean, that's a blessing, it seems. They're so independent, right? So is that something that you focus on as upbringing, you know, helping them grow? And
I think because I'm disabled and I need a lot of help, both with the physical aspects of parenting, but also just aspects of daily living. I think from, you know, the time the kids were conceived. They've been part of a system of interdependence where our roles may not be traditional per se. We help each other with what we need.
Can you give us an example when you say your roles are not traditional? We help each other with what we need. Can you give an example?
So I work pretty long hours, and instead of fretting about what the kids are going to be eating, for example, the kids will bring me something up to eat because they know I might need something in the middle of the day. They're not really used to being waited on per se, or having a lot of things done for them. From a very early age, they've had to take care of themselves and each other. Yesterday, we were having a little swim party out here, and I think it was Noah who noticed that Amelia was getting pretty red and sunburnt in her face. And so she said, you know, hey, look, Amelia needs some sunscreen. You know, traditionally, I don't know that a 12-year-old would be in that role for their 18-year-old sister, but it was just normal.
Oh, that's beautiful that Noah has that sense to look beyond Noah's own nose to see other people.
Especially a sibling. You would think, you know, the natural thing would be to try to drown your sibling instead of sunscreen on them.
But she
was helpful.
What, Amelia, what did you just say?
She did try to drown me a couple times.
Was that after or before the sunscreen?
Before.
Maybe she was trying to make up for it by being nice after she tried to drown you.
Exactly. Oh, these kinds of stories are really welcomed here. It's beautiful to hear.
It's life.
Amelia, how did that feel to you to have Noah worry about you, be concerned about you?
Not sure. I think I'm not used to it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, that was a good example, Jenny. That was a great example. So when they bring you food during the day, it's because they're home during the day because of the pandemic?
Yes. We've all been home. They've been doing school via Zoom. And I've been working via Zoom and also now seeing people in person. So we have a little routine down.
So when they all start going to school, I'm assuming school's going to be in person in September. Yeah. So then things will change again in your family system.
Right. And thankfully, all of them will soon be double vaccinated. And so that will be a great relief to us. We'll feel much safer. And yeah, we're going to have to figure out a way to now start schlepping around Sonoma County to get everyone where they needed to be. And for me, being a wheelchair user, though COVID has been isolating in some ways, it's also been a great relief to not have to deal with the logistics and the in and out of the car and the timing of everything, to just have a mellower pace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you find that to be true as well, Adam?
I mean, I don't know if it's a mellower pace, just because, you know, being home, there's like so many more things to like do. But it has been, you know, it's definitely more time, you know, spent with Jenny and the kids than I certainly otherwise would.
How has that been for you to spend more time with them?
Yeah, it's been nice. I mean, they, you know, we get to actually see each other during the day, and we're not also, yeah, we're just around a lot more.
I think we've had to work on like what I'd call like micro transitions. You know, we're used to doing our own thing and just going from thing to thing throughout the day. But now that we're together and our offices are sort of side by side, and we're seeing each other throughout the day in very small increments, I've really had to kind of come out of myself a little bit and just remember to say like, hey, how are you? Instead of just blowing right by. And I think that's a different level of attunement and intimacy than we had pre-pandemic.
Yeah, they say a lot of things, great things have come out of this COVID, even though there was a lot of pain and suffering. But as far as like what you're explaining, your family, you know, connecting more and things like that. So that's a good thing. So to move forward on this important topic that we're discovering here, I'm just really appreciative because, you know, the topic of LGBTQI and families accepting children, especially in this capacity, is is difficult for a lot of families, and we've heard many stories. And so that's why Cher and I were very excited to have you, your family, on to talk about how is it to have children coming up and allowing you to know about them, you know, and to talk to you openly about them. We would like to know how it all came about. I mean, who was the first to say something to you, like Addison or Noah? I mean, your awareness as parents. So we would like to like delve into that discussion or sharing. So Adam, would you like to jump in or?
Noah was the first to say, I believe it was just a, you know, walking in the kitchen and saying, you know, I'm gay, which, you know, I think our response was okay. It wasn't like any shock or anything. And it wasn't like her announcement wasn't like a big deal. It was just like, you know, this is my, you know, you know, I'm gay, and we're out of, taquitos or something. It was just kind of a you know, thing. I don't know that I didn't get the impression that, you know, I think Noah knew that it certainly wasn't going to be a surprise. And so it wasn't really a big deal. Addison's, you know, been more, a little bit more vague. It's sort of, he'll, you know, I think, you know, without coming right out and saying, you know, I'm this or that, it's more just like, you know, he was explaining to me the other day the difference between gay music and straight music. And basically what from the long explanation that he gave me, I've come to realize that, so basically all good music is gay music, even if the performer is straight. But bad music, regardless of the gender of the performer, is straight music. So that was the thing. So, you know, it's clear, you know, he's, you know, made statements, you know, I'm part of the community, but he doesn't, there's no like, you know, I'm strictly this. It's more just a, you know, explanation of how everything gay is better than everything straight.
That's great. And we'll get into that in a minute, but I want to ask about Noah's age when they decided to tell you.
I think Noah was either 11 or 12. I think 11. Noah's 12 now. So Noah will be 13 in January. So it hasn't been that long. So maybe a year to a year and a half. In terms of like any announcement, but certainly, you know, behaviorally and changing her appearance and other things, you know, that goes back 2 or 3 years.
Were you both aware, or you had suspicion, or did you two talk about it as parents? I'm just curious for other parents to understand, you know, the steps that are taken here.
So you're asking about just sort of finding out about what they're wrestling with in terms of. So I had a little bit of a different experience than Adam is describing. Mm-hmm. I think with the kids, they sort of wrestled with it a little bit more with me, and it wasn't just an announcement. I think that there's a lot of kind of testing and some trepidation and really wanting to see what I would think before maybe making a proclamation, which, you know, I think is smart. And we've always had a lot of gender bending in the household. So, you know, as a parent, I've been kind of wrestling with not knowing. And I would say that that's been challenging. And so to be able to be at ease with, well, we don't know. And, you know, and the truth is, even if somebody is in a place in their life where they feel like they do know, that could change. And so just to try to adopt an open standpoint that's flexible. To me, it's been a relief to be talking about it a little bit more openly. And in Noah's case, it wasn't just, I think I'm a lesbian. It was, I think I'm a lesbian. And then a few weeks later, I'm trans. So that actually happened right before Trans Visibility Awareness Day this year.
So tell us a little bit about Trans Visibility Awareness Day.
Noah, is there a reason why, like, you chose that time?
Well, I didn't know that time. I wasn't aware about that.
So it was a coincidence.
That's interesting, Noah. Noah, can we ask you a question? So tell us about what your mom and dad are talking about here, where you said you thought you were gay, and then about 3 weeks later you think you're trans. Tell us about your process.
So I always hated wearing like any of like girly clothes or like clothes that my mom got me, and most of the time at the store. My mom would like show me like all these like girly shirts, and then I'd be like, no, and then she'd be like, what's wrong with it? And I never really had like an answer to that. And most of them, like the clothes I'm wearing right now, actually all the clothes I'm wearing right now are mainly from Addison. And I never really felt comfortable in like girly clothes, I guess.
We might have a rebuttal on this.
Right. That isn't our experience.
Oh no. What's your experience?
Well, our experience is that when she was younger, and up through about second grade, she was sort of hyper, what you would say, girly, wanting to wear a lot of like bras and sort of low cut things and tutus and very sort of sexualized mm-hmm. things. And we were actually worried about it. We were like, you know, wow, you're four and we're telling you to cover up.
When you are four, you don't really know. Like, you just wear what your parents get you.
Also not accurate.
Right.
I love it. We love it. Keep going.
So, you know, for us, it was kind of, I'll speak for myself, but I felt a little bit relieved when things went into a little bit more of a modest direction. Like she was started wearing her brother's clothes, and that felt better to us because, well, you didn't seem so exposed.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting at the different viewpoints, you know, and understanding, because it seemed like Noah really felt like you parents put that wardrobe together for her at that time, right?
Well, I mean, some of it is that, you know, she has an older sister, and so she had all of Amelia's clothes. We already had the clothes. It's not like we went out shopping and I was saying, you must wear this.
Well, you didn't say you must, but you're just like, look at this cute shirt.
Yeah.
And no. Like, it's pretty hard when like your parents are like, look at this cute shirt. You look so amazing. Like, it's hard to like be like, no, I don't like that. Like, it's kind of hard to do that, because then you'd be like, why not? It's cute. Like, you wouldn't force it, but you'd like kind of like make it hard to say no, kind of.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if you got what Noah said, but, you know, kind of talking about being put into a gender role because of my preference of clothing. And, you know, I would say I could see how you felt that way. You know, I liked shopping. I considered it a bonding experience, and it's been an adjestment to.
There was a big difference between like there's bins of these beautiful dresses and other things for Amelia, and then there's like some ratty old t-shirts from her brother. It's something like, you know.
Right, and I had a blast with Amelia. you know, like that was our thing, you know. She's kind of Amelia said she would wear those clothes again if she wanted to, but she can't. But you know, that was sort of part of our thing. And so I was like, yay, I get to do it all over again with Ella. And so it has been an adjustment for me to say, oops, no, I don't.
Right. And I think you're touching upon a very important topic, which is when kids make these discoveries about themselves, we as parents go along with it. We love our children. And so we have to try to look inside, right, and find out what do we need to change to embrace our children.
Yeah, that's true. So instead of buying tutus and tiaras and high heels, I started buying fancy suits.
Mm-hmm. Which Noah liked. Is that true?
You got good taste in suits.
What? Say that one more time, Noah.
My mom has good taste in suits, though. I trust her with getting me suits. But anything else, I got to pick that out. You don't have good taste in, like, normal everyday clothes, but you got good taste in suits. I'll say that.
Thank you.
How special. And Noah, I'm thinking that maybe, I don't know what your advice is going to be later, but I think it's really important what you're talking about as far as putting kids in gender boxes, you know, when they're growing up. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but what you were talking about, I felt that you got really passionate and shared your feelings about when you were four and you couldn't say no to your mom when she held up the tutus and whatever. But I think that's a really important piece.
Hey. Diana, we're laughing because she always said, we're laughing, Diana, because she always said no.
Right. That's an interesting stance that we see a lot in children. They always say no. So we are ready to break for our music break. And I know Addison brought a song that we would like him to introduce. And why don't you tell us the name of the song, Addison, and then why you brought it. And then just to let folks know, after we come back from our music break, we'd like to talk to Addison a little bit. Okay, Addison? So go ahead and introduce your song, Addison.
So the song I picked is You Need to Calm Down by Taylor Swift. It's about pride and accepting who you are and owning it and like not letting people tear you down for what you want to be, especially if that's part of the LGBTQ community. And so I thought that was an appropriate song to pick to go on the show.
It sounds fantastic. So everybody enjoy Taylor Swift singing, You Need to Calm Down.
But you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn, it's 7 a.m. Say it in the street, that's a knockout. But you say it in a tweet, that's a cop-out. And I'm just like, hey, are you okay? And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun. And snakes and stones never broke my bones, so you need to calm down. You're being too loud. And I'm just like, you need to just stop. But can you just not step on my gown? You need to calm down. You are somebody that we don't know, but you're coming at my friends like a missile. Why are you mad when you could be glad? Sunshine on the street at the parade, but you would rather be in the dark age. Just making that sign must have taken all night. Just need to take several seats and then try to restore the peace and control your urges to scream about all the people you hate. 'Cause shade never made anybody less gay, so
on the internet, comparing all the girls who are killing it. But we figured you out, we all know now, we all got crowns, you need to calm down. You need to calm down. You need to calm down. You're being too loud. You're being too loud. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. You need to just stop. Can you stop? Like, can you just not step on our gowns? You need to calm down.
And if you just joined us, you are listening to Living Proof, and we have Jenny Holland and Adam and their kids, Addison, Amelia, and Noah joining us tonight. And you just listened to Taylor Swift singing, You Need to Calm Down. So yes. That was a great song. Thank you for bringing that, Addison. And so why does that song mean something to you, Addison?
I really enjoy that song because it speaks a lot about, you know, not letting people get to you and not letting people's opinions of you stop you from being who you want to be. And not letting others get in the way of who you are.
Has any of that happened to you growing up in your school situations?
Not really. Actually, kind of surprisingly, no. Or at least they didn't do it to my face. People have usually been pretty open about it. I guess that's one of the benefits of being like born in this kind of time.
So Addison, can you tell us just a little bit about your journey from growing up to now, deciding and making the decision that this is who you are at this time, gay?
You know, I don't think I ever thought I was, you know, straight. For instance, when I was like younger and even not like, you know, like Disney movies, and like, I always kind of envied wanting to be the princess, and definitely not like the prince. Yeah, Princess Belle, I don't know. Like that just seemed better, I don't know.
And when you were very young, like how young?
Like toddler to like, I don't know, just young.
Uh-huh. And how old are you again, Addison?
I'm 15.
Okay. Yeah.
And so playing the princess, you felt good about doing that. And were you able to do that in front of your mom and your dad?
Yeah.
We got lots.
Say that louder so we can hear you.
Noah, we got a lot of pictures of him wearing a lot of dresses. Like there's one of him like dressed up as Supergirl, and he's just like really open. He just has his arm open. He's wearing his flower headband.
I'm just thinking that is just so terrific that you are able to be that expressive in your family without anyone putting you down, just embracing you how you are and how you were.
Have you shared with your classmates? I'm just curious, are you in a community of safe people, Addison?
I mean, I've shared with some of my friends, but not like my whole class. I mean, I haven't really had the opportunity to like over Zoom and stuff. And I don't know. I don't really feel that I need to per se. Like, I don't think that's something that I need to tell all of my classmates.
Understood. Yeah, I was just curious. I'm always curious to know how far and what people say and how they feel about themselves. I really appreciate you sharing the song with our listeners. So that's a great deal because a lot of young people like yourselves are struggling to come out and to be themselves and be free and be authentic. So that's why I was curious about your journey and how that was for you, with especially your peers.
And as far as your school next year, so I have a couple questions. Why ArtQuest? What do you hope to gain from going to an art school? And secondly, now that Zoom is over and online learning is over, like you say, you haven't really had the need, mm-hmm. How are you feeling about returning to school in person with your identity and going to an art school? I mean, going to an art school might be the best place for you. I don't know. So give us some thinking about why art school and how you're feeling about returning after the pandemic.
I want to go to art school because I've always had like a love for like theater and singing and music and, you know, the performing arts. And I think like, yeah, a benefit of going to art school is I think most people will be pretty accepting of, you know, me being LGBTQ, I doubt that anybody there is going to be homophobic or anything like that, but I think if they are, I can deal with that.
I like the fact that you say you can deal with that. That shows a strength in you. Is that has anything to do with the wonderful parents that you have and the openness and accepting of them?
I think that definitely has something to do with it. I think them being so open makes me feel a bit more confident about myself, and I don't feel so bothered by what other people think.
Wonderful. Thank you, Addison. Amelia, you ready to do some talking?
Yeah.
So why don't you talk to us about, you're going to be going to Santa Rosa High School next year. You're going to be a senior. So tell us a little bit about, you identify as being part of the LGBTQI plus community, but you're not really sure about your choices, and you shouldn't have to be, you shouldn't have to have that on you. But just tell us about your process.
I haven't figured out what I am yet. Yeah, or haven't figured it out yet.
And that's okay. But you're not claiming yourself as one thing right now, and that's okay. Thanks for sharing that.
I think that's something that I've had to adjust to as a parent, because in my generation growing up, there wasn't such a thing as fluidity or non-binary. It was like, it was this or that. And so I've really had to work hard a little bit to not have an expectation for some kind of pronouncement, you know, to be in the unknown.
Yes, exactly. And I think many of us are in that place, you know, of learning how to be in this new era of language as well, you know, the they and them and choosing and non-binary, you know, all of that. So thank you for pointing that out, because I hear that a lot from a lot of young people, the pressure of having to fit into a box. Yeah. And that's the unhealthy part of it all for them.
Right. But at the same time, there's a level in which boxes can be containing. So, and then you remove the box altogether, and then there's just always an unknown. And so that takes some adaptation on my part to be comfortable in the not knowing.
So does Noah go by the they and them pronouns?
I go by he, him pronouns.
Oh, you go by he, him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. Now, Noah, how is it going to be for you? You didn't go by he, him pronouns before the pandemic when you were at school, correct?
Yeah.
And now you've been away in person for a year. You've been only on online Zoom in school. When you go back to school, how are you going to navigate he, him versus people who still think you are she, her?
Well, I probably won't be going back to the same school because my graduation is on Friday, and my mom doesn't let me go back to school until I'm fully vaccinated. And coincidentally, which is also like real bad, I get my second vaccination on Friday, which is the last day of school. So
it's like a new start for you when you start in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be double vaccinated. You'll be he, him. You'll be Noah. And that's the way it's going to roll.
Mm-hmm. But you've been Noah in class now. I mean, she identified. And, you know, let his teacher know, and the school like instantly switched everything over to Noah and he, him. And I think your classmates all call you Noah. So
I mean, I don't really talk to them, so.
But you're in class together. Yeah.
But I'm only in class with three other people. So, and they all know, but I don't really talk to them either. So
it'll be different when you return in person. You'll be doing a lot of talking with your classmates versus not talking over Zoom. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling any certain way about that? Excited or afraid?
I mean, I'm excited for a new start.
This is for Noah and the family. So as a trans person, because I know that your family, that you all are in a new group, right? Trans group. What's the name of the group again?
The Trans Family Alliance.
Trans Family Alliance. Yes. And so that's a reason for that. We would let the parents talk about that, joining that group. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I joined that group because, you know, though it wasn't a surprise to have Noah tell us this, it's still a transition. And I felt like I wanted support of people who maybe have been in this role a little bit longer than I have. And I wanted to have a group of people that I could consult with and make sure that I'm like taking the appropriate steps and actions as a parent, because I don't always know what's best and I'm not always right. So I really wanted to be able to lean on other people going through similar things.
And so in that group, there are young kids like Noah's age where he can find some community?
No, this group is for parents. And professionals as well. But I have been concerned about both Addison and Noah being able to find community, especially since we moved and everything. And so to that end, I've been able to get them into, it's just a week long, but I think it'll be really cool. It's a summer program through Land Paths, and it's an LGBTQ summer camp, and it's a day camp. And I'm hoping that maybe they can make some connections there.
Oh, that's terrific. Is that in person or on Zoom?
Yeah, that's in person in Occidental. And also Noah will be going to Camp Castle, which is a day camp in Sebastopol. And Addison will be leading their drama program there for a few weeks.
Oh, wow. That's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Addison's going to go off to Roustabout, which is a local theater community in Santa Rosa that he's been a part of for several years. Amelia's going to go to actually a conservative summer camp, an overnight camp for a few weeks. And that'll be really nice for her to get some specialized attention. We're all going to go river rafting. Who knows? We've got some fun things.
Sounds beautiful. Wonderful. So where do you go to talk about this? I mean, you have friends outside of your parent support group. Do you tell your friends? Do your adult friends know? I mean, do you feel safe talking about your kids? Do they feel safe around your friends and other adults? How do you navigate that?
I've yet to encounter anyone who, like, thought it was, you know, had any objection or thought it was strange or anything else. I think people are just like, okay. I think, you know, there's still some confusion with regards to Noah, just in terms of pronouns and remembering the new name and everything. But other than that, I don't think it's really hasn't been much of a big deal.
And you concur with that, Jenny?
In terms of our friends and our support system, I don't think anybody's surprised. And I think probably a few people are quite relieved, but it's definitely a process rather than an event. And, you know, I appreciate just, you know, being part of larger LGBTQIA+ communities. I appreciate the space to be able to say, like, I don't always know what I'm doing and I don't always get it right. And I make a lot of mistakes and sometimes I don't even feel like it's okay to feel how I feel. And it's nice to have people who say, you know, that's just where you are right now. You know, it could be different 5 minutes from now. And so I think when I was thinking about what would be my words of wisdom right now, I think would be like, you don't have to know. And you don't have to get it right. And it's okay to make mistakes as long as you can talk about them and be accountable for them. And it's really important to apologize. And I think for the family system, it's important to, like, this isn't just happening to Noah. This isn't just happening to Addison or Amelia. It's happening to us as a family.
Yeah, those are some beautiful words. And I felt like when you were talking, every time we make mistakes to somebody's pronouns and we apologize, we're really saying, hey, you matter, and I see you, and I'm going to try to do better next time. But if we just ignore it, then it's like they become invisible. And I think you're absolutely right that we make a mistake. We call somebody a she, and they're not. They're a he, and it's like it takes a long time. So it is tough. Hats off to both of you for going on this wild ride with your kids.
Would you... I don't know if they would label it wild, Cher. Would you label it wild, Adam?
It's certainly been an adventure. So, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. And, yeah, it has challenges. I mean, certainly I mix up names and pronouns all the time. So, yeah, that can be a challenge. But other than that, I wouldn't say so much of a wild ride. They're still our kids. I don't know what gender or sexual preference really changes with that. They're really see them the same.
Do you have words of wisdom that you can offer?
Words of wisdom. I mean, again, I would just reiterate, you know, your kids are your kids no matter what. That's what's important. Not gender, clothing, sexual preference. That's all secondary. So... you know, I think if you see your kids as just that, your children, you know, the other stuff really remains on the periphery.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Let's move on to the kids because we are going to be playing a song that Noah brought. So we want to leave enough time for that. So Addison, do you have words of wisdom or words of advice? And who would you give them to, Addison?
I'd say for like people my age or any age really that's just struggling with finding their sexuality, I think it's important to like find people that you know will, you know, accept you, and I hope that you can feel like you can say whatever you feel and not be afraid to be who you are.
Thank you, Addison. And I like what you said earlier, too, about what your mom said about the gay music, gay and straight music. So listen to gay music, right? Okay, Noah.
What are your words of wisdom, Noah?
There are no gender norms. It's just what you feel suits you best. Or you don't have to be, just because you were born some way doesn't mean... just because you were born a specific gender doesn't mean that you have to act that way or be that gender. You can be whatever you feel like you are inside.
Thank you.
Thank you. Powerful.
Beautiful. Yes. Any last words, Jenny?
I want to say thank you for having us and kind of giving us a place to both speak about our experience, but also to explore it.
Yeah. Have you done this before as a family? Talk like this?
Not really.
No.
Well, it takes a lot of courage to come together. Yeah.
An exclusive.
Right.
Well, thank you for that exclusive.
Yeah. So, Noah, why don't you talk about the song that you brought, what it means to you, why you brought it, and then we'll close out our show with that music.
So, like, a couple minutes ago, like before, like we logged on to Zoom, mom was just like, what's a song that you really enjoy? And then I didn't really have an answer because I don't really like the music I listen to. You wouldn't really play on a radio. And then my mom was just like, it's supposed to like be like supportive, like an LGBTQ song. And then the first one that came to my mind was Born This Way.
Okay, so we're going to be going out with Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
Well, thank you all so very much for joining us and participating with us. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
so happy to have had you join us. We want everyone to remember that, like Jenny, Adam, Addison, Amelia, and Noah, you too can be living proof that through sharing your passion, your wisdom, your experience, you can make our world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up, 'cause you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all born superstars. She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not. Just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen. Your black, white, beige, Chola descent. You're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast but leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, 'cause baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, Chola or Orient made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave.
Here is some contact information that Jenny spoke about. For parents of trans youth, there is the Family Alliance called Trans Family Alliance on Facebook. That's capital T-R-A-N-S, capital F-A-M-I-L-Y, new word, Alliance, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E, on Facebook, Trans Family Alliance. The other Queer Youth and Allies summer day camp was called Land Paths. I'm going to spell it for you. Capital L-A-N-D, P as in Peter, A-T as in Tom, H-S as in Sam. It's landpaths.org.
Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way, can't stop me now. And you can do the same, yeah. What
next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Cheryl Cabanuck. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on 104.9 KRCB-FM, Sonoma County's NPR station. And don't forget, Sonoma County Pride invites you and your family to celebrate LGBTQ Pride Month by attending events including next week's Outwatch LGBTQI Documentary Film Festival. This festival features five films that can all be watched online throughout the festival weekend, starting June 10th and running through June 13th. And if you love The Wizard of Oz, you will not want to miss The Wizard of Oz sing-along and dinner being held at Sally Tomatoes on Saturday, June 19th. This month's big event is the concert with Todrick Hall, happening at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds on Saturday, June 26th. Details and tickets for all of these exciting events are available right now at sonomacountypride.org. And be sure to tune in every Sunday night this month for the Outbeat News segment for details about Sonoma County Pride events happening in the coming week. Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCBFM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. You can learn more at rockyandrosie.com. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.